At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday nights means it is time for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show on this Mother's Day weekend. Hello, folks. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We have an amazing lineup over the next 2 hours. We're going to go one-on-one with Basketball Hall of Famer, the great Nancy Lieberman. She's a super mom, a woman of inspiration to me. Going to have a wonderful conversation with her. We're also going to go inside the ropes. I'm telling you, we've got three golf guests. Former PGA Tour player Larry Miller, also a couple guys from the PGA Tour SiriusXM radio network, Bill Rosinski and Brian Katrick. But right now, let's open up the mics. We're going to talk about The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary with my producer, Jack McCraw, and give him a follow on Twitter, at JackMC15. Hello, Jack. How are you?
Doing good, Alyssa. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Okay, so we are just rolling through The Last Dance, episode 5, and what, 6 was last weekend, and we saw it dedicated to Kobe. I think Michael Jordan, you know, my takeaway is that he saw a lot of himself in Kobe, and there was just a mutual respect between the two of them.
Absolutely. I really think also that Kobe learned a lot from Michael as well, because as Michael's star started fading, Kobe's star started ascending, and he became the face of the league after Jordan left.
How close do you think Michael Jordan was with Kobe?
I think they at least respected each other. I'm not sure if they hung outside or played golf together or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that they respect each other enough to be cordial.
Well, it's a stellar documentary. I've enjoyed watching it so much. And, you know, as we just reflect on the time when Michael Jordan was in the league, I mean, you're a young guy. I mean, you're a millennial. I mean, how much do you think the NBA has changed since Michael Jordan was a player?
Drastically. Hand checking and fouls have gone up exponentially. And it seems as though if Michael was getting these calls, he probably would have been the all-time points leader by far. And he, in today's game, Michael Jordan would have gotten every single call because he would have been the biggest star.
If Michael Jordan was playing today, would he still be considered the greatest of all time? I mean, in my mind, he is.
I would still say so. I think he would have to shoot a lot more threes during this time in the NBA, but I think his game would have adjusted to that, and he would have been close to a Steph Curry.
Oh, that's a great point. Hey, the NBA conversation is going to continue. We are going to visit with CNN Sports feature writer Motez Bashara, and stick around, Hour 1, Nancy Lieberman, Basketball Hall of Famer, will be with us.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Love to hear from you at eRadio Sports Info at eradiosports.com and podcastarena.com. Progressive Insurance, well, they make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote today at progressive.com. We are always ready to kick off our program and talk some hoops and NBA. And I sure wish I could say that it's been an exciting week around the league, but a lot has transpired since we visited with our last guest because of COVID-19 and its impact on the sports world and on the NBA season. So we're going to get into, talking about some of the teams that are starting to reopen their practice facilities, but a majority of our conversation will focus on Michael Jordan's documentary, which has been a very hot topic. So we've extended an invitation to CNN feature writer. He is amazing. He's based in London, and that is Mr. Motez Bashara. Good evening, Motez.
Great introduction. Thank you so much. How you doing, Biggie?
Hey, it's great. I know it's been a very rough 2020. I mean, gosh, we started off, the sudden and tragic death of Kobe Bryant, and we're still trying to grapple with that. But give us the pulse on, how is the UK? How are you guys managing the coronavirus, and what's the response there? What's it been like?
It's a pretty similar situation to some of the worst affected states in the U.S., so say New Jersey or New York. I mean, you know, the population density, especially in the southern part of the U.K., is pretty heavy. And, you know, there's very sadly, I think we've been over 30,000 deaths. We're one of the worst affected countries, let's put it that way. Today, there was an announcement from the Prime Minister's office that as of Sunday, we will see some light restrictions in terms of people being able to go out and exercise a little bit more and things like that. But for the most part, the lockdown hasn't been too bad. Parks are open. People with dogs like me are very fortunate mm-hmm. that we can take our dogs out for big walks and enjoy some of the nice weather.
You know, I know this is a sports show, but I just have to wonder how London businesses and the owners, how they are coping with it, because it's really derailed the economy over here in the States.
Oh, it's been at least as bad over here. I mean, it's going to be pretty devastating. I mean, we're a much smaller country, so the UK can afford to subsidize some of these businesses. And even, you know, people who have lost jobs, who have been furloughed, you know, they're sort of allowing them to get paid a little bit at least and keep them going. So that's the fortunate thing here. But it's going to be pretty rough for a while.
CNN feature writer based in London, Motez Bashara, is with us tonight on SB Nation Radio. Let's talk about the Michael Jordan documentary. What have you learned about MJ and his Bulls? What were some of your biggest takeaways?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, people like us who are old enough to remember, you know, the Bulls and seeing Michael, you know, rise to prominence and go through all the battles and the Dream Team era and all that. You know, if you were a fan back then, you read everything. I have to say there aren't a heck of a lot of revelations going on in this documentary. I find it very, very high on entertainment. And not very, very high on revealing things. Most of the revealing stuff for me have been around the people surrounding Michael, not necessarily Michael himself. I mean, we know, you know, he had a gambling issue, or as he put it, a competitive issue, fine. And, you know, we know he wasn't so popular even with some of his teammates. Actually, that really hasn't come up yet so much because, you know, he very famously punched guys like Steve Kerr in the face when he wasn't happy with their competitive spirit. But things that popped out to me were the Scottie Pippen situation. I actually didn't realize how badly he was paid and how much of a malcontent he was because of that. I didn't realize how close he was to getting traded before that Last Dance season that we're watching. And, you know, some of the bitterness that he went through and the fact that he wanted to rehab on the team's time, not on his own time in the summer. All those things were sort of pretty revelatory to me. The other thing was Jerry Krause. I of course realized how much bad blood there was between the stars of the team and Phil Jackson and Jerry Krause. Anyone who read any of Phil Jackson's latter books would have known that. But I didn't know that Krause was the one who brought in Tex Winter, for instance. You know, you always associate Tex Winter with Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson was Tex Winter's, like, biggest champion.
That's right.
And, you know, brought him on as a consultant with the Knicks and that sort of thing. But I didn't realize that it was Krause who brought him on and asked Phil Jackson to be his, you know, to take a mentorship role from Tex Winter and then become head coach. So, you know, Phil, of course, you know, doesn't have a lot of nice things to say about Jerry Krause, but let's face it, he owes a lot of his career, certainly the beginning of his career, to Jerry Krause's initiatives.
CNN Sports feature writer Motez Bashara with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. It's going to be a bit of an abbreviated segment. We've got to have you back. We've got to take a deeper dive into this documentary on Michael Jordan, The Last Dance. Give me a hit on how close do you think Michael Jordan and Kobe were? I thought that was pretty revealing in last week's documentary series.
I don't know if they were buddies that hung out on the golf course. I mean, you know, there's a vast difference in age there, probably about, you know, 20 years or 18 years or 20 years or so. So I don't think they were buddy-buddy because it was totally different times in their careers, but, you know, when they did overlap in the NBA. But I certainly think there was a spiritual kind of kinship. When I saw that, you know, it was an early segment, I think it was in the very first part of the series where Jordan is on the bench, and I think it was one of his teammates, like a lesser-known teammate like Scott Burrell, was sort of poking fun at Michael, when they were in Paris and saying, "Hey, we want a tournament, you know, let's get in a picture." And he was just stone cold icing him, and I was just like, "Oh God, that is Kobe, 100%." That just reminded me of Kobe, 100%, or Kobe, you know, I should say, reminds me of Michael, because Kobe obviously took that attitude from Michael. He just ripped many pages out of Michael's playbook. So there was definitely a huge mutual respect there among both of them. And a mentorship role, but, you know, I don't necessarily think they were sort of buddy-buddy.
I agree with you. Tremendous respect between the two when you talk about Michael Jordan and Kobe. Our special guest, it's so short, we got to have him back, Motez Bashar from CNN Sports. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Motez B, and at The Frugal Fan. You stay safe, Motez, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way. Basketball Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman is up next.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Many different ways to connect with us on this Friday. You can always go to Twitter, at eRadioSports, info at eRadioSports.com, and podcastarena.com. Progressive always makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. You can get your quote at progressive.com today. As promised in our next segment, it is time to hit the hardwood. We're going to talk some hoops, and we are always so thrilled and honored to have with us Basketball Hall of Famer, and she is the head coach of the Big Three, Team Power, the great Nancy Lieberman. Good evening, Nancy.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, before we talk some hoops, it is Mother's Day weekend, and I know you are a proud mom of TJ Klein, who has gone on to have a wonderful professional basketball career overseas. So give us an update. How's he doing?
He's fantastic. Actually, he's been back in Dallas for the last 2 months. He came back from Tel Aviv, where he's been playing, and it's just great. I mean, to have him here 3 meals a day and just to spend quality time, you know, given that it's a very difficult time in our nation. But I feel very blessed. And, you know, when your kid is 25 years old and he's just enjoying what he's doing with his mom, you can't beat it.
So what do you love the most about being a mom?
I just love the interaction, you know, and just seeing the growth and who he is. You know, we both have kids and seeing them, yeah, you know, when they were 8, 9 years old and going to camps and having fun with friends and then turning around and just seeing this incredible human being and how he handles himself and how he's dedicated himself to his craft. And, you know, it's hard when your parent is somebody. And there's that innate pressure on you to maybe be that. And, you know, for him to be playing professionally and, you know, maybe next year having a chance at the NBA. But more importantly, he's been on the Israeli national team. He's won championships out overseas. And I'm just proud of his development and how he cares about philanthropy and helping others. He's a giver, not a taker. And I admire him for that.
I cannot believe TJ is 25 years old. I just remember when he was a little guy running around. So let's kind of relive some memories. I mean, how important was it for you to come out of retirement so your son could watch you play when you were drafted by the Phoenix Mercury in 97? And you were, what, the oldest player in the WNBA in that inaugural season. And it was important for your son to get to watch you play.
It's funny. I was just doing an interview about that with the NBA, about what it was like.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I wanted
okay.
to play. I wanted to play because I wanted my son to know what his mom did. And as the story goes, I was doing the TV at the Olympics in Atlanta in 96, and I was sitting with Magic Johnson, and he says, "So, you know, you're going to play in the WNBA?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." And he goes, "Nancy, I've never heard you say no." I said, "Well, you know, I'll be 39, and, you know, he's like, do you still love the game? Are you still willing to put in the effort?" And I remember going home and looking at my husband at the time, Tim, and yeah, TJ's in the kitchen. I go, "TJ, what does your mom do for a living?" He goes, "You're my mommy." And I go, "No, yes, no. I'm a basketball player." He goes, "You do TV?" I go, "Yeah, but your mother's a basketball player. Go in there and tell your father your mother's coming out of retirement." And he runs in the other room. And, you know, Tim's a big guy, too. He's 6'8". Yeah. And he goes, "Daddy, we're in trouble. Mommy's coming out of retirement."
Oh, that's a great story. Two-time Olympian silver medalist, head coach of the Power Big Three League, Basketball Hall of Famer, the great Nancy Lieberman is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. We wanted to extend this invitation and celebrate you Mother's Day weekend and talk to some more about, as far as, you know, how becoming a parent, how that changed you. I mean, we all have, as you were talking about, different parenting journeys, and you quickly, I mean, one thing for me, I certainly became a lot more disciplined and responsible on many different levels, but it's just so unbelievable being a mom. It's so special.
It really is special because, you know, so much of life, especially if you're an athlete, it's selfish, it's single-minded. True. In your pursuit and your purpose of what you're trying to do. And then all of a sudden you have a child and, you know, it's the old, and you've gone through it yourself, many of your listeners have. You know, we're going to go out tonight, or we're going to go have dinner, or mm-hmm. we're going to go to a movie, and, you know, a kid gets sick, and it's like, okay, I'm not going to be able to make it, or the baby's crying, uh-huh. or, you know, everything has its proper place, and you become that caregiver, and as we know later in life, I better be good to my son now, because he's going to be taking care of me later.
Hey, Nancy Lieberman with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but I want some advice from you tonight. I've always looked to you as my role model, and, you know, my oldest son, Stephen, he's going to leave and go to college in 3 months, which I cannot believe. So tell me, what was that transition period like for you when TJ left and, you know, your firstborn flying the nest? Ease that transition for me.
It's hard because, you know, we love our kids, and we spend 18 years taking care of them, mm-hmm. you know, or being around them, making sure their laundry is done, they're eating, that they're getting from place to place. And then, like, before you blink, it's like, no, I don't need you to drive me. I'm good.
Yes.
They have their own friends, their own identity, and going off to college. By the way, congratulations on that.
Thank you.
It's, they're morphing into the human being that we wanted them to be, and they'll always love us, but we have to let them grow. And it's not easy to do that because, you know, we want our babies by our side. And it's harder for us, I think, than it is for them, because they're trying to spread their wings, and we're trying to keep those, you know, the kids close to us because we just enjoy them so much. But he's going to have a great time in that college experience in OU, and he's going to be sensational at what he does on the golf course. Mm. I'll be getting lessons from him instead of Stephen coming to my basketball camp.
Yeah, it's hard to believe it was 10 years ago he was at your basketball camp. Listen, we are going one-on-one, such a special interview tonight with Basketball Hall of Famer, the great Nancy Lieberman. And we've got lots to talk about. So COVID-19, unfortunately, it's been so difficult. It's forced all major sports leagues to suspend play. So give us an update on the Big Three. You're the head coach. You know, what's the game plan moving forward with this league and with its star players and the coaches?
Well, Ice Cube has been fantastic as far as communication and keeping everybody in the loop. I think there's a lot of uncertainty. Matter of fact, I know there's a lot of uncertainty, not just with the Big Three, the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. Everybody is trying to figure it out on the fly with as good of information as you can get. And a lot of people, even doctors, scientists, they have different thoughts on how this thing should be approached. But, you know, I thought what Adam Silver said, I think last week, you know, coaches, Pop is in his 70s. D'Antoni is 68 or so. Mm-hmm. Doc Rivers, Rick Carlisle, those guys are in their 60s. And there's a lot of other coaches, too, who are older that this could affect. And, you know, even if you play in an arena with no fans, you have to have some, you know, some people, union people, putting things in place for the players and the coaches to actually play a game, even if there's no fans. And there's just no way of knowing with this disease right now who is going to contaminate somebody. And you have to be very vigilant. And, look, I want to get back to work. I want to be able to coach. I want to be able to be on the sideline. But I have to do it the way I'm told to do it. And there's nothing wrong with taking instruction from people who might know more than us. And I appreciate Adam Silver and mm-hmm. Ice Cube, you know, taking that stance that they want to protect the health and welfare of the players. So they'll go about it in a slow manner until we feel comfortable.
What was going through your mind in the month of March when all of this started to unravel and we started learning more about COVID-19?
Well, we were the last basketball game. I was in the studio with Aaron Hartigan doing the, you know, I do the
That's
TV
right.
for the Pelicans.
Yeah.
And we had just finished our half-hour pregame show. But we were watching, before we got on air, we were watching the Jazz situation unfold with the Thunder. And it's like, you got to be kidding. I can't believe it. And when the doctor started running to the court saying they can't play, because Rudy Gobert, you know, and all this other stuff. So we finished the show, and literally we're walking off the set, and we're told, go back out there. They're about to cancel the game. You know, the Pelicans are not going to come out and play because Courtney Kirkland, who was one of the officials, who I know very well, he did the game on that Monday with the Jazz, and he was the official for that game. So the players were a little skittish since Gobert was, you know, tested with COVID, the virus, the first NBA player. So the you know, they had a consultation, I'm sure, with the league, with the Players Association, and they decided, nope, my players are not going out there. So we literally, that was the last thing that day. And we haven't had a basketball game since. So it's surreal. I've lost six people.
Wow.
Unfortunately, you know, New York City has been hit hard. I'm a New Yorker. And it's not only have they lost people, but they can't even have funerals because of social distancing and how many people. It's horrible. And look, I'm wearing a mask. I'm wearing gloves. I'm social distancing. I'm doing what they tell me to do, working with our mayor and chief of police. And I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to do what they say.
Absolutely. And safety first. Basketball Hall of Famer with us just about another minute. Tonight on SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Nancy, as we close out our interview, we wanted to get your takeaways on the new documentary on Michael Jordan, The Last Dance. What's your biggest takeaway from this?
My biggest takeaway is Michael's honesty and the fact that there's a generation that had no clue of his real greatness and his single-minded pursuit. And really, Kobe validated that when he said, when you see me, you see Michael Jordan. If you didn't see Michael Jordan, if there was no Michael Jordan, you wouldn't see me. And he is absolutely amazing, Michael, in what he did. Six championships, six MVPs. He wasn't there to be everybody's friend. He was there to be a champion. And we're in an age where everybody, you know, in sports is buddy-buddy on some level. But, you know, Michael has shown that there's a difference in his ability to separate some of that. And quite frankly, if Chuck Daly wanted Isaiah Thomas on the Dream Team, he would have been on the Dream Team. It wasn't just Michael. It was other players that didn't want him there, not because of his ability. And look, I'm friends with Isaiah. But they at that time, they just thought he would be a disruptive force. And I think Isaiah needs to let that go.
Basketball Hall of Famer Nancy Lieberman's been with us, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Let me ask you this. As a head coach, I mean, what's the biggest lesson you would want today's players to learn from this documentary?
I just want them to know the history of the game and how, you know, powerful this doc is right now, because it's allowing them to see another generation of greatness that maybe they've seen on video clips or Twitter or social media, but you're seeing behind the scenes. You're seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I just hope it just gives you more of that determination to be great at what you do. And, you know, I mean, there's a reason why LeBron is who he is. There's a reason why Kobe was who he is. And it's not everybody is a champion, but you can be with how you prepare yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope everybody's enjoying it the way I am.
Absolutely.
And I was around it. I was around, you know, Michael has been a friend for 35 years, and Barkley, and Dennis Rodman was at, when I was drafted in 1980 in the first Women's Pro League with the Dallas Diamonds, his sister, Deborah Rodman, played at Louisiana Tech. She was my teammate with the Dallas Diamonds. And this young brother, her brother, Dennis Rodman, was at all our practices. You know, it's so funny. Like, old people just kind of, you know, I don't have to make up the stories anymore. They're now in a documentary.
There is never enough time when we have Nancy Lieberman on our program, SB Nation Radio. Happy Mother's Day. Have a wonderful weekend. Give her a follow at Nancy Lieberman and also Nancy Lieberman Charities. You've always been there for people when they are hurting, and it's so important to give back, and you have taught that to your son.
Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday night, welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to connect with our audience many different ways. Join the show at eRadio Sports, our Twitter feed, and info at eRadioSports.com, PodcastArena.com. And Progressive is making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote today at Progressive.com. Well, it has been a very busy program tonight on this Mother's Day weekend. We are going to continue inside the ropes as we are just 1 month away from the return of the PGA Tour right here in the Lone Star State. Looking forward to it in Fort Worth, Texas. And we're thrilled to have back with us from SiriusXM, PGA Tour Radio, and co-host of Katrick and McGinnis on Tap. It is an awesome program, the great Brian Katrick. Good evening, Brian.
Alyssa, thank you so much for the kind words. It's great to be back on with you.
Well, talk to me. So how are you and your radio partner, John McGinnis, how are you guys holding up?
We're fine, and that's very kind of you to ask. Both of us are healthy. All the family members are healthy. You know a little of this. You know, it's life on the road for us. So we've been home now for a couple of months. We both worked the Players' Championship and had to leave. Actually had to hustle out of Florida in order to get on the air by Friday afternoon since they had canceled the rest of the tournament. But time at home is blissful for us. And so it's a mixed blessing. Yeah, we're not getting paid. You know, we're not going anywhere. But as long as they come back, which, as you just mentioned, they plan to, we're taking this for what it is, which is some really nice time at home.
You're listening to the familiar voice, Brian Katrick from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. He co-hosts a program 5 days a week on SiriusXM. And, you know, COVID-19, it's made it so much harder for all of us in the broadcasting business. You talk about, you know, you're accustomed to being on the road and traveling. But how big of a challenge has it been for you and John to, you know, daily come up with fresh content when you don't have live sporting events? You're navigating through some difficult challenges.
Yeah, I mean that's been the problem, is just coming up with content. Luckily there's been about a story a day every day that we've been doing this. It hasn't really been a big story. They haven't been big important stories,
right?
But this is also, we're very lucky in that this is a game we play. And so a lot of the country got to continue to play it. And even if you weren't playing it, you could relate to stories about playing it. So John and I just talked about playing it. And what we did was we've gone through John's phone now and found everybody that we thought in his phone that could tell a good story about something. And not all those people were golf people. I mean, we had Mike Mills from REM on, just talking about stories about the band. Mike happens to be a golfer. Michael Waltrip, a NASCAR driver who also happens to be a golfer. He's telling those stories. We had author Harlan Coben on, happens to be a golfer, telling stories about his profession. So the fact that golf has brought everybody together and John's got a phone full of these people, that's how we've been dealing with this.
Well, you have landed some impressive guests. I noticed what Dan Hicks of NBC, he joined you guys earlier this week. What did Dan share about broadcasting and just the challenges of COVID-19?
Well, Dan is in a similar spot in that anytime his family can be united, he's got a couple of kids off at college. I think one's already finished. And then his wife, the award-winning Hannah Storm, is actually still working because they still have the ESPN studios going. But still, to have most of the Hicks family together and all of it together at times has been a blessing for him, because they don't ever get it. And, you know, that the old Harry Chapin song about the cats in the cradle.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody goes their own different ways. And so there's a lot of us. And Dan was kind of relating to that. You know, we're all at home again. We're getting this little period. It's almost like a rain delay where we're all off doing our own things. We know we're going to go off and do our own things again. Yet here we are all huddled in the clubhouse together. And it's kind of nice.
Well, that's right, because good news, the PGA Tour returns, and we are all looking forward to the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial Country Club in Fort Worth next month. One of, I would say, the best non-major championship fields of the year and of the season. First of all, are you going to be there? Will you get to go?
Not there. My first event back is actually the third one, which is the Travelers Championship, which we had originally missed. But Travelers got put, and we didn't actually originally miss Travelers. Travelers is keeping its date. Colonial got moved and Harbortown got moved, and those are the first two. But so the first one that I had on my schedule was what is now the third one. So that'll be my first week out. So I will not be at Colonial, but obviously all eyes will be on that event. And I don't think we still yet know what we're going to be watching.
That's right. Well, from what I understand, Brian, the field has expanded from 122 to 144 golfers, and world number three, Brooks Koepka, said that he will be ready to compete after 2 months off from professional golf, and also DJ Dustin Johnson has committed as well. So, as you said, I mean, all eyes will be on Fort Worth. I think it's going to be compelling to watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Tiger doesn't show up at one of the first
really?
Three.
Really? Okay.
Well, just for the same reason that, you know, you've got a little distance between that and the first major, the only major this year is now that last week in July, the first week in August. So you've got some time, and you win the PGA Championship, you've just won the single season Grand Slam. So we're going to have a Grand Slam winner for the first time since 1930. It's going to be a little bit of an asterisk because there's only one.
That's right.
but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of the guys, just like Brooks and Dustin, that have been suffering from cabin fever. We're very lucky in golf. I'm fortunate enough to get to cover a little football also for my alma mater at Kennesaw State University.
Okay, that's right.
You know,
yes.
You don't just break a huddle, so to speak, and come out and play football after a couple of months layoff. You got to practice for a couple of weeks. Even if you're in physical condition, you know, it requires timing and you got to learn plays and everything else. You can't do that without everybody around. Well, golf is not like that, as you well know. You can get yourself prepared without actually going out there. You can do it all by yourself. So these guys aren't going to come out, you know, walking. They're going to come out at a pretty good full sprint, and I expect a whole lot of them to want to come out as soon as we get going.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the next generation of sports radio. Our very special guest from Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, co-host of Catrick and McGinnis on Tap, that is Brian Catrick. And so, you know, talking about preparation, these guys getting ready, what do you think the focus has been for Brooks Koepka over the past couple of months? Because, Brian, he didn't have a great start to the 2020 season.
No, I think Brooks's focus and Tiger's focus were both just get healthy. You know, Brooks said, he told us back in December, and I think he was saying even at the beginning of the year, he's not 100%. And he's not going to complain about it, so we're not going to hear him talking much about it. But we know the knee wasn't healthy, so you had a couple of months here now, or a month and a half or so, that you could have just rested it and gotten it where it needed to be. And so I think that was probably his focus. He didn't say that to Dan Patrick specifically, but I think it's pretty easy to infer that. And then I think for a guy like Tiger, it's the same thing, get healthy. And then from there, they know that healthy, their best punch is good enough to win. So really, I think it starts and ends with health for those guys.
What do you think the vibe will be like the first four events? Obviously, it's going to be very different not having fans.
You're right about that, and Brooks did talk about that. Now, but Brooks doesn't have to go too far back before he remembers what it's like to play without fans. And all of these guys, with very few exceptions, can remember what it's like to be in that Thursday morning group that nobody's watching, or that Friday afternoon group off the back when the marquee guys are over on the other side of the course. They've all been there. So, you know, I remember calling a hole, you know, I was following somebody that got near the lead over on the Palm course at Disney back that old two course event, and the Magnolia was the host course, but somebody got tied for the lead or something like that over on the Palm. There weren't even marshals over there. So guys guy makes a birdie putt on, you know, 12 or 13, somewhere back there, and I'm the only other human being around besides the other two players and the other two caddies.
Wow.
So he makes a 20-footer, and that requires some elevated volume. That requires some energy, and I'm the only one there that cares. They're all just kind of looking at me. So they all have been through that in the past. For some of them, it's been a long time, and it's going to be odd, no question, but it's going to be even stranger, I think, for us, the fans, because the television coverage and the radio coverage, we don't ever air shots that doesn't that don't have anybody. You know, I think that putt that I called probably didn't even get on the air because it just sounded weird. if it wasn't live, they probably didn't run it.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's going to be weird.
Okay, so no fans, but do you anticipate additional modifications that will take place? I mean, we're seeing this in junior golf where there's no rakes in the bunkers. Players are required to putt with the flag stick, you know, for safety measures. I mean, you know, what kind of tweaks do you anticipate?
That's really an interesting question, Alyssa, is I think it depends on what level we're asking. I think if you put the tour players in the room and said, here's how we have to play, it's this way or nothing, I think they'd all play. There was the story about Adam Hadwin, it was such a terribly written headline because he didn't say he wouldn't play with the flag stick in. He said he didn't want to play with the flag stick in. He might be inclined to skip a couple of events if that's all that was on the line, just the first couple, and you knew the flag stick was going to come back out later on. However, again, you put these guys in a room and say, this is how we have to compete. They're all going to compete that way. That said, you put them in that same room and you say, all right, let's talk about some ideas. What are your preferences? Well, obviously, it's their preference to play as close to the rules of golf as possible. You know, there are guys that want that stick out. There are guys that not only want the bunkers raked, but they want to know who rakes them. You know, the caddies take a great amount of pride over who's raking. You can't just have some volunteer raking the bunkers because that's one of the unsung elements of professional golf. Those guys rake those bunkers in a pristine fashion because it's a matter of pride for the caddies. So, again, it depends on what setting. Public setting where it's play or nothing, then they'll play. But as the more you get a chance to tweak it, I think they'll all have opinions there. And honestly, I don't think any of us know where we are right now. I don't know where we are in this conversation. They're all excited to get back, and if they got to leave the flags in and they got to have no rakes, then they'll play that way. But if they can somehow adjust it, you know, how many more tests is it going to take to have somebody following them around with a rake? Or do the caddies have to have gloves on and maybe you can pull the flag sticks? We've got lots of questions. We just don't have answers right.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Brian Katrick from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's go back inside the ropes with Brian Katrick from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Okay, so we're talking about caddies. It's obviously a very special dynamic, a special relationship between a player and its caddy. Do you think the PGA would ever consider making players carry their own bag in competition? Just once again, for the safety measures.
I mean, I'm sure they've considered it. And that was something that Brooks did joke about with Dan Patrick, but maybe Bubba couldn't carry his own bag.
Okay.
I think it goes back to exactly where we were before. If he told the guys it's the only way to play, then I think they would adapt. They've all carried their own bags in the past. You know, they all played college golf. They can all do it. They wouldn't necessarily want to do it. The first rainy day, you're going to have a big issue. And I think that's one of the things the tour would have to look at. What are we doing? Are we, no offense, or no pun intended here, are we watering down the competition? How integral are the caddies on a daily basis? On a sunny day, some players, their caddies just carrying the bag. On a rainy day, the caddies way more involved for everybody. On any other day, the caddies are more involved depending on the player. So caddies are a big part of this. Could we play without them? Sure. But I don't know that we're going to have to. And at this point, I also don't know why. You know, what are we saving? NASCAR is going to start going, and they're not going to use the tests the way that everybody thought we were going to use they were going to use the tests. They're going to be testing players and checking their symptoms and taking their temperature. They're going to be doing it a different way. Don't know if that's going to work. That sounds reckless to some. That sounds reasonable to others. So, you know, honestly, we don't know if not having the caddies would actually save the problem. We saw that goofy story that said in order for the PGA Tour to complete the season, they would need 1 million tests. And Alyssa,
wow.
I'm terrible at math. Well, but I can tell you, stop right there. I'm terrible at math.
Right.
That number is so far off. They said 800 essential personnel for the week. Seven tests, so you test everybody a day, that's 7 days. And then you test everybody every day for 14 weeks, which is what we have left. That's 78,000 tests. We're a couple of decimal places away from 1 million. I don't even know where they got that from. That's 78,000, and that's if you test everybody every day for 14 weeks.
Mm.
So there's some real irresponsible stuff being thrown out to fit an agenda, as is the case with everything else in this world. And
yep.
I'm just hoping the PGA Tour doesn't get caught up in that.
Hey, listen, we are wrapping up our time. Brian Katrick has been with us from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Katrick and McGinnis on tap. You've got to check them out. Give me a quick hit, Brian, as we close out our interview. Tiger playing with Peyton Manning against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady later this month. What are you looking forward to the most with this?
The trash talking.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Absolute, yes. Oh, yes. Well, that was the one thing we missed from the first match, is the guys didn't really talk much to each other.
I know, it's kind of awkward, yeah.
We'll make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they will make sure that they talk trash to each other.
Well, we've got some events on the calendar we're looking forward to. Brian, thank you so much for carving out time. Have a great weekend. Be real good to Mrs. Katrick, too.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.